Petty Scare. Sounds amazing. And Waspzilla.
Hello, and welcome again to Flickering Dreams. This is our weekly roundup. We're changing the format of Flickering Dreams, as you might notice. So we have separate episodes now for each film we're reviewing. But we'll also have this kind of weekly get-together where you can put the film quiz in and look at the top 10 and all of that stuff that those followers will know and love already. So this week, in terms of the reviews we've put out one for the excellent film Cabrini. We've also reviewed Irish Wish, God help us, on Netflix. And Drive Away Dolls is the other film that we reviewed, one half of the Coen brothers, and that's out in cinemas at the moment. Have you guys seen any other films during the week?
I have got one. It is called The Bloody Hundredth. Bob, I know yourself, you are the other member on this team that's been watching the Masters of the Air TV series, the Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg series on Apple TV+. So this is essentially a companion piece to that TV series, where it's a documentary about the 100th bomber group. And yeah, it's like a DVD extra, pretty much. We've seen the dramatized version of what's happened. Now this is just telling it from the real people. We get some talking heads. The likes of Spielberg pops up, and some of the people that were still alive have talked about the bombing in World War II and the Air Force and the planes and some of the people. And it is quite interesting. All narrated by Tom Hanks as well. So, yeah, his lovely voice to talk you through that. And it's only a little bit over an hour as well. So definitely one that if you've seen and enjoyed the TV series, for an extra hour, chuck this on just for a little bit of context.
Yeah, I will definitely do that because I did enjoy the series. Yeah, it wasn't quite up there with Band of Brothers or
No, even it's definitely the weakest of the three.
But, yeah, it was
still very good.
Yeah, it was very good. Yeah, very good.
I tell a lie, Bob, which, given my title there on the screen, I probably need to confess to. I did see one of the films, which I saw one of the films you were recommending for the nominated Oscar shorts, which was the ABC of Book Banning.
Oh, yes.
And I found it fascinating and frustrating at the same time.
Yeah.
They told us which books were banned, which was fascinating. They never really told us why, which was frustrating. Yeah.
I wanted.
It's worth 20 minutes.
Yeah,
exactly.
I wanted the governors or the people on the other side who banned the books to justify
tell us why
they banned the
books. And that never happened. It's. I mean, it's worth seeing because it is what 20-25 minutes, but it's fascinating and frustrating in equal measure.
Yes.
So yes, I did see that. I just throw that in.
Yes, indeed. Yes, I wish that had won the Oscar, but it didn't because I had £5 on it to win the Oscar.
I think if it had a little bit more information in it, it would have stood a chance. It was a bit vague in places.
Yeah, it was. It was.
The Hobbit is banned. Why? I had to look it up. I had to Google it.
Yeah.
And yet the film didn't tell me.
Charlotte's
Web. That's really frustrating.
Charlotte's Web is banned because it has talking animals in it, which are kind of a little bit demonic, right?
Spiders are scary. That's why.
So that's every Disney film is therefore banned because you can't have animals talking in films, can you?
Well, I mean, you know, George Orwell got it wrong clearly, didn't he?
Didn't he? yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah. So let's tease these people with a little bit of this now. So we're going to do our film quiz. I've got a different variant of it here, which I've called 5 Degrees Without
Will
Kevin
I be
Bacon.
Any better at this one, Bob?
I'm not sure. Last week when we
I'm just going off a quick breath.
When we ran the quiz, we scored a grand total of 0 points between the teams. So,
yeah, but I did claim a moral victory.
Yeah, you claimed a moral victory. You actually scored 10, but you had a minus 10 as well.
I'm not letting you forget that.
So, no. I mean, if any of you won, Andy, you won. All right, so, yeah, I'll just put
first
it out.
First and last time for everything.
So this one is a little bit different again. It's different because one of the things that you can do in this game is there is no penalty for a wrong answer.
Ooh.
So you can write
exactly. It's
still the same format, so you have to try and identify the film, and it's a film from the top 1 movies at the box office of all time. And what you need to do is try and identify the film from cast members in that film.
Oh, interesting. I like it.
I'm going to start further down the cast list, I have to say, and question five will be, as you might guess, the stars of the film. And as always, you get maximum points for guessing the film as quickly as possible. But there is no penalty for a wrong answer, so you can write five films down on your piece of paper. So let's go then with pair number one. So pair number one in this film, and audio listeners, you can play along with this as well, are Simon Farnaby and Matt Lucas. I give you 10 seconds to think of an answer and write one down. Right, let's go on to pair number two. And this is Ben Whishaw and Imelda Staunton.
And so they're all in the same film?
They're all in the same film. So we've had Simon Farnaby, Matt Lucas, Ben Whishaw, and Imelda Staunton. Okay. I'm going to go on to pair number three. Peter Capaldi and Jim Broadbent.
I think I'm sticking with the same answer from two.
Are you?
I'm not a clue. Not a clue.
Okay. You got any ideas, Emma?
I wrote something down already.
You've written something down.
I was supposed to be happy with my
You can write as
answer.
Many down as you want in this game. And number four is Julie Walters and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, I should have went with it on one. Yeah, I'm pretty confident.
I'm lost now.
Julie Walters and
that same answer again.
Kidman.
Yeah.
And the final, Hugh Bonneville and Sally Hawkins.
40 points, thank you very much.
Oh, Scott is sounding very, very confident.
What was it called?
I was so happy with my first answer, and then I was like, I can't remember if those people were in it.
Really, guys?
I don't think those people were in it.
Oh.
Okay, Andy, I'll give you a count of five for some divine inspiration. Five, four, three.
The men who stare at goats.
One. Okay, you got no ideas. Okay.
No, not a clue.
Not a clue.
Well, I shouldn't know because I count myself as Scott, one of Nicole Kidman's biggest fans.
Scott and Emma, what have you got?
Emma, do you want to go first?
Well, so my first guess, which I guessed on one, was Wonka because I knew they were both in it.
Yep.
And then, sadly, my five is Paddington.
Okay. Scott, what have you
I'm
got?
I'm hoping it's right. I've got no genuine clue.
So on question one, I went Wonka as well. But from two onwards, yeah, Paddington.
Yes. Paddington. Well done. And indeed. It is Paddington from 2014. Yeah, that is number 586.
I am just thoroughly ashamed of myself.
I'm sure you guys are going to get that, yeah.
I thought Nicole Kidman was probably the giveaway.
I mean, my first one I wrote down, Shall We Dance?
Oh.
Which was the Timothy Spall film. I thought I was expecting to see Timothy Spall come up.
Is that Finding Your Feet, isn't it?
Or Finding Your Feet.
Yeah, that was
Shall We Dance?
So I was wrong anyway. Yes.
So,
and I also thought about The Duke, but...
Yeah. So for that film round, Andy unfortunately gets 0 points. Emma gets 10 points. And Scott gets 40 points and is in the lead. Does his little dance. Right.
I can't remember who Mark Lucas is in Paddington, though. The rest of them, yeah. I can't remember
him. No, I couldn't remember him either.
He plays someone called Joe because I instantly went and looked it up because I had no idea Nicole Kidman was in Paddington.
She's the main villain.
Yeah, she was the main villain.
Yeah.
Is she?
Yeah.
Yes.
I only remember Paddington 2 then.
Oh, that would have been Hugh Grant.
Yeah, I mean the superior film of the two.
It is. It is indeed, yeah. So that's the film quiz, and we're going to move on now. Just look at the top 10 box office.
Amy, if you're watching, my daughter, don't disown me, please.
Right, so here's the box office for this week, and no surprise, really. Dune Part 2 is still at number one for, third week in the chart, and building up quite a magnificent box office of £26 million. I have to say, there's few films that you've seen at the cinema in the last 3 weeks where you haven't experienced Dune, because I don't know about you guys, but every other cinema screen you go into, you can hear Dune 2 through the walls, yes, or through the floor.
Yeah.
Like last night, I went to see the National Theatre production of Vanya with Andrew Scott, and it was going boom, boom, all through the quiet bits of this play. I had to put it in my mind that this was the sound of the underground tube stations going underneath the theatre, and that kind of helped a little bit. But, at number two in the chart this week is Wicked Little Letters, with the wonderful Olivia Colman swearing her foxy ass through the film. And that's 4 weeks now in the chart, still at number two. As I kind of predicted, it's built up quite a nice little silver dollar following there through word of mouth, over £7 million at the box office. Still there at number three, 7 weeks in the chart, is Migration, over £19 million now.
That is
made.
Staggering that that film is still,
isn't it,
in the charts and riding so high.
Yeah, like it's not the school holidays yet. You can quite imagine. I mean, that's probably going to stay in the charts now until Easter, isn't it, and then run through the Easter holidays.
I think so.
Bearing in mind the times in which we live, and you've got things like the new Chicken Run film on Netflix so you can watch it home and so on, to see this doing so well, is maybe it's a good sign that parents are taking kids to the cinema and introducing them to the cinema.
I think so.
But it's staggering.
It is, isn't it? And number four, also doing really well and sticking there in the cinemas, is Bob Marley, One Love. I did actually get to see this at last this week, and I kind of agreed with you guys that it was a biopic, we're supposed to say now. And it was okay, but I didn't think it was anything particularly miraculous or special about it. £16 million that's made. So again, some very good business being done in UK cinemas at the moment, even kind of in the post-Oscar lull. And number five is the film we reviewed last week, which is imaginary dodgy horror film, the first of a number of films featuring imaginary friends, and second week in the chart. And number six is that film Drive Away Dolls, which you'll have to watch the review because Andy has a rant and Scott tries to defend it.
Scott defended it. Let's just be...
Yeah.
Scott did defend it.
He has his view. You like Marmite, Andy. Scott doesn't like Marmite.
I hate Marmite, but there you go.
There you are. Right. Okay. Drive away.
Scott did do a good job of defending it, I will say.
Drive away dolls is Marmite in the movies, clearly. At number seven is a fabulous film that, again, we reviewed last week. It's Monster, and the Japanese language film. As a Japanese language film with subtitles, it's obviously not going to do fantastic business, but it is a fantastic film, and one certainly worthy of your movie dollar. That's at number seven. Number eight is The Zone of Interest. Again, 7 weeks in the chart, doing its Oscar kind of rounds again. Over £3 million that's made. The big surprise, I think, is, well, maybe it's not a big surprise, but there's been a lot of Oscar films re-released, one of which is Oppenheimer. And clearly a lot of people have been to see Oppenheimer because it's made number nine in the charts again. Mm.
I think it was like quite a good call by, I'm not sure if every cinema chain did it, but Cineworld certainly re-released all the Oscar noms.
Every man have released a lot of the Oscar noms.
I mean, and it's clear, like when Zone of Interest happened, I just couldn't find it anywhere to watch. And it was an absolute nightmare. And clearly they have an audience.
Yeah, you just have to win an Oscar and you get to see it in Cineworld. Yeah. Yeah. So Oppenheimer is at number nine. That's made just short of £60 million now, 35 weeks since its release. It says weeks on release.
The rumour is that Christopher Nolan's next project is going to be a remake of The Old Prisoner, the TV series with Patrick McGoohan.
Really?
And number six, apparently, according to what I've been reading, he's going to redo The Prisoner, which will be fascinating.
It will, won't it? Yeah. And number 10, still clinging on there. Will it be able to cling on in the top 10 until Easter? Is Wonka. 15 weeks in the chart, just ahead of Oppenheimer in terms of UK revenue, with £63 million.
But, see, I still find that staggering. That's a children's film. Migration is a children's film.
Yep.
Wonka is clearly the better of the two films, I would have said.
Yeah.
And yet look at their positions and look at who's going to see them. Well, it's just really, really interesting that the two children's films are that list.
I mean, to be fair, Wonka's been out twice as long as Migration. The fact it stayed in the chart
that's
15
true.
Weeks yeah. is astonishing, isn't it?
But it is interesting.
Yeah. Indeed. Right, so that is the top 10 for this week. Coming out on Friday, it's clearly Ghostbusters Icy Kingdom, or whatever it's called.
Frozen Empire.
What I like to imagine is Ghostbusters Afterlife combined with Geostorm. That trailer was definitely Geostorm 2.
It's the mashup that nobody ever asked for or nobody ever wanted. Yes, indeed.
I love the Ghostbusters.
I wanted it, Bob.
I want
this one. I want to see this.
Did you want this one?
I loved Afterlife. I thought Afterlife definitely. Was great.
Did you? I can't.
Did you not?
I can't remember, which means that it was probably a bit iffy.
A lovely tribute to Harold Ramis at the end.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I cried.
Yeah, I cried.
Yeah. So yeah,
I'm looking forward to this.
We'll see what this is like and form a judgment. I have a feeling I might be on the back foot here in the film support. Any other business? Emma, you sent a message to our private group in the week about the number of dodgy sequels coming out.
Oh, honestly, so we were obviously discussing things that are coming up to make early predictions for awards. Yeah. And just some of the things that just terrifying. So discounting actual new films, original films. I went through everything. So this is not just things that are for next year. This is just horrifying things I found. So I put the horror film Bambi, The Reckoning on the chat, which, I mean, I haven't seen Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey yet. So I feel like that's a double bill.
Is it made by the same people?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it.
I mean, it sounds like
the copyrights went now. So it's open. There's going to be a Steamboat Willie horror film as well. Yeah. All these really low budget schlocky people that are just taking advantage.
So I shared that unnamed Steamboat Willie horror film. I mean, I hope that poster is accurate, because the poster on that on IMDb is hilarious.
I mean, there are people who count the original Bambi as a horror film.
Well,
there were some listings. You'll find it listed as a horror film in some listings because of the scene.
Certainly horrified me.
Spoilers, but yeah, it's ruined my childhood, that film. Yeah, absolutely.
that bloody ditch cutter in Ring of Bright Water, yeah. Utterly traumatised.
So I found some sequels that are coming and remakes, which I thought, some of them, interesting, annoying,
shockers,
terrifying. So I shared Planes, Trains and Automobiles,
shocking,
which has got Will Smith and Kevin Hart. Against it. Remake of Anaconda.
Oh.
Yeah,
Den of Thieves 2, which I'm sure has been on the cards since 1. I don't know why we need a 2.
Oh, Den of Thieves, yes.
That was quite a fun film.
I quite like Den of Thieves.
It was all right. Yeah. I don't think we need a sequel,
garbage.
Though.
Vaguely
it was
remember.
Garbage.
I can it's Netflix, and I can remember it a couple of years later, so that must mean something.
A remake of Don't Tell Mum the Babysitter's Dead.
Oh, for God.
Escape from Earth, which has him reprising his role from Escape from New York or whatever those...
Really?
Okay. Yeah, so that sequence, right. Snake
Pistol. That's right.
There were some awful ones. Live action Lilo and Stitch is still terrifying to me.
Oh my God.
Saw 11. I mean, I thought we were done, but okay.
No,
Smile
we talked
2.
About this, Emma. We talked about there being an unnamed Saw sequel after how much we loved the last one.
Okay.
This has hope.
Clearly tried to erase that from my mind. remake of Roadhouse.
That's coming like in the next few weeks, isn't it? On Amazon. Jake Gyllenhaal, that could be good.
There's Shrunk, which is a follow-up to like the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids film.
A follow-up?
Wow.
Or just a remake?
There were several of them, weren't there?
No, it does.
Honey,
there were several Honey, I Shrunk the Kids
Honey, I Shrunk the Dog, wasn't there? Yeah.
Oh, Rick Moranis comes back. That might
Honey,
be
I
nice.
Shrunk the Budget was another one.
I thought Rick Moranis had kind of retired for good. But
oh, I'd like to see him come back.
The other ones I thought were super weird. Remake of Three Men and a Baby with Zac Efron.
No,
I'm not feeling it.
No,
an Accountant sequel. Now, I liked The Accountant.
Yeah,
with Ben Affleck.
You were the only one.
No.
No, it was all right. It was all right.
There's a My Spy 2 that is called The Eternal City. I'm happy about that. I really enjoyed it. A remake of Train to Busan.
Remake?
Oh, is it English
already?
An American remake.
An English
of course it is.
Language version. XXX4. A live-action Sword in the Stone. Now, that is one of my favourite Disney films. So that is greatly upsetting.
Interesting.
But also, a new Final Destination. So I'm quite excited for that one.
I quite like the Final Destination films.
They are quite gory fun.
How many have there been, though? I feel like I lost
six.
Track after about four.
There was six, I think, Scott.
No,
I've got
sure
them all on the shelf
that,
behind me. I could check. But, I thought the last one was very clever, the way it ended, if you remember. The very last one ended where the first one began.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw the last one.
Really clever.
I really enjoyed that. And just, so that's it on the sequels and remakes.
There's one you haven't mentioned, Emma.
Oh, what's that?
Kingdom of Planet of the Apes.
Oh, well, I was only mentioning the dubious ones that
Because I can't wait for that. I'm really excited. I can't wait for Kingdom of Planet.
I saw the cinema trailer the other day and I thought this looks a solid, good film. Yeah.
The original 68 film is in my all-time top 10 ever since I saw it at the cinema. And I can't wait. I think that they are building nicely towards Charlton Heston arriving. I wouldn't be surprised if the next one ends with Charlton Heston arriving on Planet of the Apes, you know. I can't wait. It looks great.
Good, 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 good.
The last thing I want to share with you are films I will be watching and I will make you listen to me review them. Here are the highlights. Chum, obviously a shark movie.
Might
Cinderella's
be about
Revenge.
Dog food.
Don't know what that is, but that sounds good. Killer Witches from Outer Space, Jurassic Exorcist, Nano Shark,
oh good grief,
Pandasaurus, bunch of Christmas
films. We've got
Kung
Fu Panda 4 out, haven't we, this weekend?
Yeah.
So, Pandasaurus.
Don't want to mix those two
Shark,
up, I don't think.
Shark Exorcist 2, Unholy Waters. Nice. And then Stock Shark, which is something to do with stock photos. I was confused. Subway Shark. Teddy Scare. Sounds amazing. And Waspzilla. Okay? So just making you aware of what I will be watching.
Okay.
A list of those. Then.
Where and when will you be watching?
Your cinematic soul is going to need a lot of prayer, Emma.
Oh,
I don't know how I'll be watching this, but I will be scouring the earth for them.
They will be free on YouTube at some
point
soon.
Demon possessed dinosaurs. That'd be fun.
That doesn't bear.
I mean, Velocipasta was fantastic. So
not seen that.
I'm hoping
loads of people
similar.
Recommended that to me, but I didn't see it anywhere.
It's a classic.
That's interesting use of the word.
Okay, guys. One more.
One massive bit of news that came out today for fans. It's almost certain now that we've got a new James Bond.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
It looks like the role has been offered to Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
Not my choice, but not a bad choice, I don't think.
It'll be very interesting.
He's got to sign on the dotted line, but it looks like that's a signed, sealed, delivered new piece of
casting.
Where
do they go with the story after the last one? It's going to be fascinating to see.
I heard rumours that they're going to go back in time, make it a bit of a period piece.
My thinking is the very last line of No Time to Die was Madeline says to the little girl, I'm going to tell you a story about a man. His name was Bond, James Bond. Mm-hmm. That's where I would begin the next film. And then I would go back in time and have her telling the little girl stories about her dad. That's how I would do it.
Interesting.
Because that would then link in the end of No Time to Die. and make sense. Yeah, I would do a flip back, even perhaps before the time when James became 007. And if you think of the start of Casino Royale, we never really get the backstory as the Daniel Craig version of Casino Royale, not the other one. We never really get the backstory, what that mission was. And as you say, Scott, that would tie in with the idea of it being a period piece.
I don't know it really matters at the end of the day, does it?
Well, I think he does to Bond fans. Die-hard Bond fans, I think he does.
Madame Webb may pop up and say, hey, I'm in a different multiverse now. Look, we've got a James Bond too. Here he is.
Oh, my word.
And he steps out of Bond the shower
in the multiverse.
Like Bobby Ewing. And everything on, is right.
A Bond multiverse film would be amazing. Get a Pierce, Bond get Craig, Timothy Dalton still alive.
George Lazenby.
George Lazenby.
I mean, that would be a terrible idea.
I've met George Lazenby. He's a really nice guy.
That would be an awful idea, Scott. Let's not even.
No, that would be great. That would make so much money. Ian Can you imagine Fleming the poster, is, the trailer would be.
Ian
huge.
Fleming is spinning in his grave right now.
Yes. They all come out of the multiverse together to defeat a rogue AI. Yeah.
Rogue AI Blofeld.
Rogue AI, helped by their imaginary friend. That's
and rogue. Blofeld's cat turns out to be a relative of the cat in Argyle.
Yes, indeed. A man.
Who do we need to send this to?
Yes, I'll write it down. I'll type it up tonight.
We're on a fortune here, guys.
We're getting greenlit by the weekend. Okay. All right, guys. My thanks to Scott Forbes from the Forbes Film and TV Review, Andy Godfrey from Sorted Magazine and Connect Radio with a K, and Emma Sewell from Emma at the Movies on Twitter/X/whatever it's called. Thank you, guys. I've been Bob Mann from One Man's Movies and BBC Radio Solent. We'll see you next week. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening or watching Flickering Dreams. You can find the video version on YouTube and the audio version on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get each of the weekly episodes as they are released. We'll see you at the movies.